Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
See, God promises to comfort me.
Understands how life begins or how a baby is so wonderfully formed in a mother's womb. Only God knows how to perform such a miracle. Stitch by stitch, row by row, he carefully knits each piece into place.
From Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Some more singing in a few minutes.
Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Is she ill, John?
Just fainted, I think. And no wonder, all she's gone through.
Has she given up hope?
Oh, no. Like us, she still cherishes the hope that he will manifest his power and deliver himself from his enemies.
He won't.
What makes you say that?
I recall words in which he foretold the very things that are now taking place. Remember?
Yes, I... Oh, my heart sinks within me. He said he would be put to death by evil.
She's awakening.
Oh, where am I? My son, is he still alive?
Yes, yes, dear mother of the master.
He hasn't exerted his power to save himself.
No.
I'd like to go back to the...
No, I don't think that's best.
Please, you love him, John. You know what agony it is to be away from him. I love him, too.
All right. I'll take you. This is close enough.
No, John, beloved of my son. I want to be at the very foot of the cross. I want to look up into his beautiful face. Please, John, take me closer.
But can you bear it?
He is my son.
I understand. Come. I'll take you to the very foot of his cross.
I did most of the work, so I claim his garments as
mine.
It was
my idea, so they're mine.
And let us cast lots for them. That seems to be...
Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Did you hear that? The thief wants a part in Jesus' kingdom.
Quiet, quiet. I want to hear his reply.
Verily, I say unto you today, thou shalt be with me in paradise.
My son...
Mother, John, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son.
I accept the trust, Lord. She shall be a great blessing to me, for she will always remind me of my Lord and Savior.
The dark cloud enshrouds the Savior. Darkness is pierced with a bright living light. Look at the face of the thief. Perfect peace, for he has accepted the saving grace of our Lord.
My son is the Messiah. Men may exercise power over his human body. They may place a crown of thorns on his brow. They may strip him of his raiment and cast lots for it. But they cannot rob him of his power to forgive sins. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, neither his arm shortened that it cannot save.
He is king. He is king of kings. It is his royal right to save all those who come to God through him. Oh, I am beginning to understand now that his kingdom is not of this world.
Please. Incite the mob to more violence and insults, or they may turn against you and the other temple rulers.
Who are you to tell me what to do? Anyway, the people do as they choose.
They do what I inspire them to do, and so do you. You always will. It's too late to change.
Who are you?
Never mind who I am. Just get busy and heap insults upon him. I have more at stake in this than you do. I must win, or all is lost. Forever lost.
Are you?
No, you can't. I'll do it myself.
Come back here. I want to know who you are.
He should know who I am. I have inspired him to all the evil and wicked things he has ever done. And he has done plenty. Lieutenant!
Yes, Master.
You and the rest of my angels circulate among this mob and get them angry again. Get them to actually kill him, if you can. He must die quickly. Then I will have won. The world will forever be mine.
Master, we cannot kill unless permission.
Do as I say. Get busy with the mob.
Do you know who is here?
You mean the angels from heaven?
Yes, Master.
I know they're here. And I also know they will let us go so far and no farther. This has always been true. Why worry about it now? Just get busy.
There is no need to yet, Master. The dark cloud still covers the cross, and him, the people, A fear struck.
The end is here. Oh, help me.
Jesus Christ, help come me. Down from the cross.
Perhaps he already has at this point what he claimed to be. God's own.
He will quickly get even with his enemies.
My own word.
It's getting lighter. The darkness is lifting.
Perhaps it is not the end.
It is entirely light now, except around
can
the cross.
Can anyone see the cross or he who hangs upon it?
Lightning seems to be hurled directly at the cross.
My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
The bolts of God's wrath are hurled at him because he blasphemed by claiming to be the Son of God. The vengeance of heaven is upon him.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
How much it means when your light is seen from afar. You will be amazed when it's God they praise for the love they see in who you are.
Let your light.
Wow, so much trouble in this world.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Makes me wonder if I can trust anybody. I heard my dad saying that people in big companies are just out to make money, even if they have to cheat their customers. And that leaders of countries hurt their people so they can live in big mansions. And I even heard a story about some parents who hurt their own children. How sad is that?
Well, we can't stop trusting people, can we?
I don't think so. We need to learn stuff in school, buy things at the store, and live in our houses. I mean, my mom and dad would never hurt me, would they?
Remember what the preacher said last week in church? He said that the only person we can trust for sure is God. He would never hurt us or make us sad.
So?
Well, if someone loves God, that means that that person is trying to be like God. You know, someone who's kind and trustworthy. Well, our parents love God, so I think we can trust them. And some other parents may not believe in God, but they're trying to live honest, kind lives. So I think we can trust them too.
I see what you're saying. We can trust people who are honest and kind, whether they believe in God or not. But if someone isn't living like God wants us to live, you know, being selfish, mean, dishonest, we really shouldn't trust them.
The pastor also said that trusting God is good for your health. We feel more peaceful and happy. We feel like we've got a friend even when everyone else is mean to us.
I guess there is something in this world we can trust, God.
That's so good to know.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
If your feelings get hurt and your toys fall apart and you have a sad feeling deep in your heart and you want to go out but it's raining out there, I want you to know I care. They take you someplace and you sit in a chair. I want you to know I care. When you tell a big lie and cause a bad scene, when being grown up is a faraway dream, when they're filling your teeth and cutting your hair, I want you to know I care. I care. I do. There's no one like you. I mention your name when I'm saying my prayers. I want you to know I care. Bad cold and you can't go out, when you're sick for a week with that thing in your mouth, when you sleep in the dark and there's something out there, I want you to know I care. I care. I do. There's no one like you. Sometimes you act like a grouchy old bear. I want you to know I care. I just love you too much.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is Chapter 7, The Two Crows. As the next few days went on, things pretty much returned to normal. Chris didn't hear much about buried treasure from Sammy, Dee Dee, and Jenny at school. It seemed as if they had given up on the idea. Willie went to another school, so Chris didn't hear from him at all. Even Ryan, who had seemed to supply enough enthusiasm for the rest of the group, had turned his energies back to baseball. On Thursday after school, Chris and Maria were standing by the school fence when Mrs. Vargas drove up and beeped the car's horn. They climbed into the car, Maria in the front and Chris in the back. "So how was school?" Mrs. Vargas asked, looking in the rearview mirror at Chris as they pulled out into the street. "Oh, okay, I guess," Chris said unenthusiastically. "Math's going to be a killer this year." "Have much homework?" Mrs. Vargas asked, looking in the mirror and then at Maria. "None," Maria said, as cheerful as usual. "A little," Chris said, almost in a moan. "Well, I want to do a little shopping on the way home," Mrs. Vargas said. "There's a new fabric store on the east side of town I want to check out. You two are welcome to come in and look around if you want, or you can stay in the car and do your homework." The car left the main road and pulled onto the freeway. "I'll stay here," Chris said, still without enthusiasm. "Hey, Chris, I'll help you with your math if you want," Maria said. "Sure," he said. "That's a nice older sister," Mrs. Vargas said. "Chris, can you say thank you?" Chris looked up. "Why? She hasn't done anything yet." "Chris," Mrs. Vargas said, "shame on you. She did, too, do something. She offered to help you." "That's all right, Mom," Maria said. "He's just in a bad mood." "Yeah, Maria's right," Chris said. "I am in a bad mood. I have been all week." "Why?" Mom asked. "Because your treasure hunt didn't work out?" "Yeah, I guess so," he said. "But why did you all give up so easily?" Mrs. Vargas asked. The car got into the right lane and pulled off the freeway. Chris looked ahead at an area of town he had never been in before. Most of the area was filled with factory fronts and warehouses. "I guess we just ran out of ideas," Maria said. "Chris, it's not your fault any more than it is anyone else's." Chris was silent. Something about this area rang a bell in the back of his mind. The car jolted and felt as if something was pulling on the tires of the car. "What's wrong with the car, Mom?" Maria asked. "Oh, it's just this road, Maria. They paved over some old railroad tracks here. The pavement is kind of rough." Suddenly, the bumping and pulling stopped. "There, that's better," Mrs. Vargas said. "See, the old tracks go that way." Chris looked out the left window and saw that the old railroad tracks in the pavement led to an old rickety bridge that seemed to be out in the middle of nowhere. Alarm bells rang in his head. "Now we're past the old factory part of town and into a newer section," Mrs. Vargas said, "and right over there is my store." She pulled into a parking lot and parked the car. "I'll just be a minute," Mrs. Vargas said, closing her car door behind her. Chris's head was whirling with ideas, and he barely heard her. Suddenly he called after her, "Mom, is it okay if I check out something we drove by over there?" He pointed back the way they had come. "I guess so," Mrs. Vargas said, "but watch for traffic and don't go too far. I'll be right back." "What do you want to check out?" Maria asked, following Chris out of the car. "A bridge, a railroad bridge," Chris said. "A bridge? Why would they need a bridge around here?" Maria asked. "Exactly," Chris said. "The river is miles from here," and he broke into a run. "Chris, wait!" Maria ran after him. Chris looked both ways, then bolted across the intersection. Maria was breathing hard 2 blocks later when she caught up with him. Chris turned the corner and ran down the street. "Wait, Chris!" she shouted. "What's the hurry?" He stopped suddenly, and Maria saw what he was looking for. The old metal bridge was rusted and broken. It was probably the ugliest bridge that either of them had ever seen in their lives, but right now it looked beautiful to Chris. "So it's a bridge," Maria said. "So what?" "Don't you get it?" Chris said, walking over to the bridge and pointing to either side of it. "The river ran right through here." Maria's eyes opened wide. "Look," she said after a long minute. They both looked at the side of the bridge where a metal plaque read 1901. Chris looked at the empty lot covered with sand on either side of the metal bridge. "If this is the riverbed here, then all we have to do is..." His mouth dropped open as he looked toward the east. Chris looked past the shadows that he and Maria cast, past the intersection that marked the end of the factory section, and past the shadows of the tall buildings. On the hill beyond, a new neighborhood of houses was being built. At the top of that knoll were 2 giant boulders standing up on end. With their broken, jagged tops, and with the evening sun shining bright on them, the boulders looked like 2 giant birds. "Crows?" Maria finally asked. "Crows," Chris agreed. "They've got to be." He took a step toward them. Chris, no, Maria said. That's too far. Mom said she'd be right out. Let's go back and get the rest of the kids. Chris looked back at her. It'll be dark before we can get everyone out here. Maria stepped forward and grabbed his arm. What can you accomplish tonight that you couldn't do tomorrow? Friday is a short day for school. Let's come back in the daylight tomorrow, prepared. Isn't that the treasure hunter's code? Be prepared? That's the Boy Scouts, Chris said, but I get the picture. In the meantime, Maria said, let's just keep this to ourselves, okay? It was hard to hold down their excitement around Mom and Dad, but they wanted to be able to solve this mystery on their own. You seem to be in a happier mood, Mom said. I guess Maria should have helped you with your math sooner. Then she went off to put Yo-Yo in bed. They called Willie that night and told him the new plan. Chris told Ryan the next morning before school, and Maria let the shoebox kids know at the first recess. School ended right after lunch the next day, and they were all eager and excited to find the end of their mystery. Sammy's house was closest to the place where Chris and Maria had seen the boulders, so that was their meeting place. From there, they pedaled their bikes over to the new subdivision and the giant boulders. They don't look like crows to me, Sammy said as they stood beneath them and looked up. I think they look like parrots. Nah, parrots have fatter beaks, Willie said. I think they're more like buzzards. Whatever, guys, Chris said. They look more like crows than anything else we've seen around here. But how do you know they didn't just bring those two boulders in here when they started building these houses? Jenny asked. I don't think they could lift boulders that big, Chris said. It could happen, Jenny said. Look, it's the best lead we have, Chris said, starting to get angry. I think we have to have a little faith here. Well, what do we do now? Sammy asked. The map said look for a sombrero and head toward it, Maria said. All I see are houses. Dee Dee whirled and looked around them. I think, Chris said, someone is going to have to climb one of the crows and look around. Who's going to do it? Chris looked at the gang, but no one volunteered. This is your party, Chris, Sammy said. I say it's you. I vote for Chris, Willie shouted. Everyone else for Chris? Shout yay, Sammy called. Yay! Congratulations, Willie said, pulling a rope from his backpack. You've just been elected king of the crows. Chris looked at the kids, then up at the huge boulders. He shook his head. What am I getting myself into?
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 1, The Mysterious Treasure Map. It was written by Jerry D. Thomas and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.